it just sets up a very undesirable thing because it isn't helping the individual getting the services they need. We're not prepared in the emergency department to do extensive substance abuse counseling or case management or social work because we need to free that bed up for the next person who needs it, who might be sicker and or more injured than the alcoholic patient is. So, but yet, we are federally required to take care of anyone who comes in our doors. So there has to be a better way, right? we all agree that this is not good for the person. It's not good health on the health economic standpoint. So we have to do things better. So many communities have done things better, and over the years there have been some great programs that have developed across the country: San Diego, Portland, even up in Cambridge. I think you visited there. And so those programs basically aim to divert people from the ambulance ride into the emergency department and then cycling out and repeat again to the type of center where they can sober up, they can be observed for any bad medical conditions, and they can hopefully get some level of substance abuse counseling, maybe be steered toward housing, maybe be steered toward treatment again. And some of those people in that situation do better, and they certainly are treated more humanely. They aren't racking up thousands and thousands of dollars in ambulance and hospital charges, and their existence is probably better. They're also not clogging up. For instance, our emergency department at Rhode Island Hospital at any one time will have, probably 6 to 15 of our precious treatment spots occupied by people who are simply drunk or under the effects of drugs and just sobering up, basically.
6 to 15 beds at any one time, and that's out of a total of how many?
So that'd be out of a total of about 80. And so we're one of the largest emergency departments in the country, so we have a very big footprint. But out of our roughly 80 beds, we would have anywhere from 6 to 15. Now, that's just a broad average. If you look at a Friday night or a Saturday night when we take all the intoxicated students in the mix from the local colleges, we might have 20 to 25 beds with alcohol-intoxicated people.
And that's a huge percentage.
Yeah, it's a large
of your beds.
Of our beds, right.
And what's it like on the inside for, your staff, your doctors, your nurses, your CNAs?
Well, I think we all understand that someone doesn't choose to be a homeless alcoholic, that there is a biology of addiction, that there is a disease going on here. And yet, it can be frustrating because the behaviors of those individuals are always not the most exemplary, and we get spit on, and people urinate on the floor, and we have altercations, and people, striking out at us. So, from the emergency department staff standpoint, especially the nurses and the techs and security, it's really troubling because we feel like if we had to do this once with an individual and then got them out and into treatment, that'd be one thing. But if we're doing it 3 or 4 times a week with the same person who comes in the same intoxicated state, it obviously doesn't. It obviously tests your ability to be empathetic and humane in dealing with someone who just seems to eventually be kind of hopeless in what we can do for them.
Right. And you mentioned that that really isn't the venue for offering, for doing an intervention or some kind of more thoughtful or deeper kind of substance abuse counseling or offering of other treatment. You're working to stabilize people and then moving on as quickly as you're able.
And they're actually for people who are less affected or less, not as far down in the spectrum of alcoholism. Some of those people who come in and present with a car accident and are intoxicated, we might, in that case, be able to do a brief 10 or 15 minute intervention, just showing them how their drinking behaviors created some harm and seeing what their readiness to go into treatment might be. And in that case, you can sometimes make a difference. But when someone is at the stage of that they become homeless due to their addiction, they're normally not very responsive to a brief, what we call a brief intervention in the emergency department. It's just not likely to have much effect, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Are emergency doctors trained generally to do short interventions like that?
Yeah, actually, due to the research that's been done over really the last 20 years, most emergency medicine residents in their training will have some exposure to how to do a screening, brief intervention, and referral to treatment. Our residents certainly do. We have that as part of their didactic program. They learn how to do that.
So you said that over the past 5 years, you've been really engaged in this issue, and you've made some headway. Tell me about that.
So we put together a coalition that from the beginning we recognized it wasn't just an emergency department problem, that we needed to involve the police and fire and substance abuse treatment and psychiatry and hospital people and community folks who are dealing with substance abuse. We needed to pull everyone together. So we created a group that eventually under some grant funding from the Soros Foundation, became the group called Closing the Addiction Treatment Gap. They've been working, you know, through the Senate Commission, and we've been having lots of productive meetings, and we are ready to respond to that RFP from the state now that will hopefully direct us under this waiver of the law, you know, the temporary waiver of the law that everyone has to be brought to an emergency department. So we're hoping that we can now be set up a pilot program that will allow us to divert people into a sobering center type of environment and combine that with the services for housing and kind of a case management and see if we can make a difference with some of these folks.
So was this coalition responsible for kind of kickstarting the legislative attention?
The Closing the Addiction Treatment Gap. But yeah, it was really it brought people together. It got them talking about addiction in general, and then a kind of a subset of that group really started pushing forward on the alcohol problem, the alcoholic problem, and the kind of the frequent emergency department utilizers.
So you said you're ready to respond to this RFP, and for people who don't recall that, the state, you know, after the special Senate commission was convened, they came out with some recommendations, and that was let's put together a plan for a pilot an alternative to the ER.
To direct the state to create a pilot program that would create an alcohol diversion center, basically.
How could emergency rooms be involved?
Well, so part of it is just, I guess, our knowledge of and understanding of the situation and what where people are brought from and what services they need. But actually, our group, our emergency physician group, has pledged to provide some of the medical care at this sobering shelter because these are ill people. They often do have injuries or recovering from injuries. They might be recovering from frostbite. They might be on the verge of going into alcohol withdrawal. It's not a bad idea to have someone screening the individuals. There will probably be an ENT or nurse-level person who's there at the center at all times. But what we're thinking of doing is having a physician or one of our physician assistants or nurse practitioners be at the center each day for a period of time to just kind of do a medical checkup on people who are there. And we think that'll give some security to the people who are running the center on a daily basis that at least they're getting a medical review. And obviously we can be in communication. If anyone looks bad or like they've got anything that's life or limb threatening, they would be transported immediately over to our hospital. But it's more of a sense of our community that we want a better way for these people to be cared for that's more likely to get results than what we're doing now. So we're just invested in the process.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, what you'd like to see going forward or what you think lies ahead on the horizon perhaps even given, you know, the advent of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I think that all the impetus of the Affordable Care Act and the way we look at rising health care costs and where people are being managed and where their care is being delivered, we just see that there's a tremendous impetus to try to do the right care in the right location for as low a cost as possible. And so caring for a chronically alcoholic person 200 times a year in an emergency department is not the right way. It's not the right place to provide the right care for that individual. So I think if we can do very reasonable and appropriate things to try to get that care delivered in another setting, it's going to be obviously better for the person and a lot better for the finances of healthcare. So I think in the emergency department, we want to be there for the acutely sick and injured, and those people that have acute psychological problems. But we're more, we're plenty busy enough in what we do right now. We could easily have 10 or 15% of our patients, and that's about what the estimates are, who probably could get care elsewhere. We would be fine with that occurring because it would allow us to do our jobs probably even better. I think this is a really crucial time for us with this initiative, and that it's just a no-brainer when it comes to looking at EMS services, what the city could benefit from this, what the state and Medicaid could benefit, how the hospitals could benefit. There's so many win-wins with this. I just hope we can push it forward, and that whatever institutional politics or kind of a short-sighted view of it won't get in the way of getting this done, because even as a pilot project, I think we're going to show that it really is very, very beneficial, and it's a win-win all the way around. It's been 5 or 6 years in the making. It's like, let's just get this done now. So that's going to be our goal. We're going to push hard for it.